May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 385. Hear, gracious God, a sinner's cry, for I have nowhere else to fly. My hope, my only hope's in thee. O God, be merciful to me. 385.
Thank you.
Read from Isaiah chapter 38. The book of Isaiah chapter 38. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckon till morning that as a lion so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah had said, Let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also had said, What is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Once more, dear Lord, we would bow before thee. Thou who art the sovereign ruler of the skies, and art ever gracious and ever wise. Oh, as thou hast spared us to gather at this evening hour, we do pray, dear Lord, thou wilt rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. And oh, we do seek most earnestly for thy divine help, for it is toward evening, dear Lord, and the day is far spent. And we would pray as those dear disciples did of old, that thou would abide with us. May thy sweet and sacred presence be known and sweetly felt, both in our hearts, Lord, each of us, and too within these walls. And that we may prove what the dear hymn writer said, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. And O Lord, we would come with the desire of those Greeks of old when they said, Sir, we would see Jesus. And as the dear poet did when he said, while walking in the gospel way, we would see Jesus every day. And O Lord, may we have a glimpse by faith of a precious Christ. And oh, may he be to us the one thing that's needful. Do remove from us all distracting thoughts and cares, anything that would creep in and mar our worship. But may we be in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and granted the sweet influence of thy Holy Spirit, and worship thee in spirit and in truth, and in the beauty of holiness. And oh, may our hearts be melted. Lord, do remove from us all hardness and rebelliousness, and grant to us, as Job so sweetly spoke, a soft heart. O Lord, we would have a soft and tender heart, and have the mind and the spirit of Christ, and be clothed in humility. O, we pray that thy precious name, dear Lord Jesus, may be exalted this night. And oh, may our souls be profited, and may the flesh be put in the dust. We pray that thou wilt blot out our many, many sins. And knowest those that are so burdened and cast down because of their sin. And oh, we pray that thou wilt draw near to them and sweetly apply that precious blood, that they may know its sweet cleansing power and the sweet peace of Calvary. And O Lord, may each burdened sinner lose their load, and downcast souls rejoice. Knowest those that are heavy, laden and burdened, Lord, who help them to cast all these burdens, all these great weights upon thee. For Lord, there are many things that are too great for us and thy people, but they are not too great for thee. And oh, may our little faith be strengthened to believe that thou wilt do for us far exceeding abundantly than we can ask or even think. We pray thou wilt dry up the tears of those that weep. Lord, there are many things to make thy children weep in these dark and solemn days. And oh, we pray that those tears of sorrow may be turned into tears of joy. And oh, that each of thy sorrowing people may sweetly experience that which thou didst say to thy dear disciples. Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And O Lord, may joy succeed the night. Thou knowest those that feel to have had a long season of night and darkness and sorrow. But oh, may joy outweigh it all. Do remember thy tempted ones. Lord, thou knowest how real the temptations are. For thou wast tried and tempted too. Or to succour every tempted burden, son. And O Lord, do grant that Satan may be cast out, thy tempted followers set at liberty. And O do bless the dear children, dear Lord, and the little ones. May they in early days be taught of thee, given a gracious appetite for the truth, and they may come up hungering and thirsting for thee and for thy word, even from the days of their youth. For thou hast said it is good that a man should bear the yoke in his youth. And oh, we pray thou would hear the prayers of dear parents for their offspring. Remember our own grandchildren and great-grandchildren too, and all the dear young people, Lord, who preserve and keep them in their going out and coming in. Do help them to lay everything at thy dear feet, for thou hast promised to manage all by the way and to the end. Those that may have got impossible things, Lord, may they have that faith to believe that there is nothing impossible with thee, for with God all things are possible. And O Lord, do remember those that carry offspring. We pray that thou wilt be with them and grant safe deliverance at the appointed time. Oh, do be their helper, their strength, their portion, their all. And oh, may the dear babes be born with all their faculties, and above everything, Lord, be raised up to be vessels of mercy, children of God. Oh, do help in each time of need, and spare life, Lord, and grant life. Oh, do remember all thy afflicted people. We commend them to thee, that thou wilt send that needed healing and restoring, if it's thy will. And O Lord, may these afflictions be sanctified to each of us, Lord, in all the paths of affliction we tread. And O may we and know and feel thy sweet presence in them, and that thou wilt make each bed in each affliction. And I do uphold, Lord, those who feel to be sinking. May they sweetly prove thy precious promise. For thou didst say that thou wilt put the everlasting arms under thy children. Lord, we pray that we may each be favoured to feel those everlasting arms under us. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Do hold us up, Lord, and hold us on. Make us real and make us right. And if we're deceived in anything, Lord, undeceive us. And do keep us looking unto thee. May our eyes ever be heavenward. For thou didst say concerning thee last times, when ye see these things come to pass, then look up. And oh, as these solemn and dark days we live in, Lord, may there be in the hearts of thy dear people a real looking up and a looking to the dear Redeemer. Remember each one in their varied needs. We pray thou wilt supply every need, Lord, and that thou would appear for those that long for thy appearing. Do help the deacons here and bless them and bless the hymns they give out. And may there be those times of sweet flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. And may thy dear servants, as they labour here and throughout Zion, be granted that gracious anointing of thy Holy Spirit. Do touch their lips and ours with that live coal from off thy heavenly altar. And oh, may thy word go forth with power and enter into the hearts of many, that there may be yet many born again. And in this village may there be yet an awakening, if it's thy holy will, of many sinners round to come and fill the place. And oh, do come, Lord, and add to the church further, if it would please thee, may there be others constrained. We would praise and bless thee for what thou hast done. And oh, may there yet be the sound, both here and in our own flock and throughout Zion, of an abundance of rain. Lord, the power's thine. We beg of thee to work. Hear the cries of those that sigh and cry for thy appearing, both throughout Zion, in our own hearts, and in this guilty nation. And we pray that thou wilt yet appear, and save us from the powers of Europe and the powers of evil, and those that would take the privileges we're favoured with from us. And may those laws on our statute book that are contrary to thy word yet be overturned and rooted out. And may there be a real turning once again unto the Lord God of Israel, in whom all our hope of heaven depends. Do remember our Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh and those in the royal family. May they be taught of thee and brought to set a right example in this land. And, O Lord, may we still be enabled to gather to worship thee, and remember all thy persecuted ones throughout the earth, and all in war and famine and many that are in deep need. Oh, we would commit them all to Thee. And we would praise Thee and bless Thee for all Thy mercies to us, Lord. One said, mercies countless as the sand that daily I receive. And we do seek for that divine help as we turn to Thy holy word, that Thou wilt give us that voice to speak, the hearing ear to Thy dear people. And may that which is sown in weakness be raised in power. Do hear Thou in heaven Thy dwelling place, our poor groanings and cries, and undertake for and forgive anything we've uttered amiss, as we would fall into Thy kind arms, sink or swim. We ask it all in that precious name that prevails above every name, the name of Jesus, and for His dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1098. O God of mercy, hear my call, my load of guilt remove, break down this separating wall that bars me from Thy love. 1098.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Psalm 12 and the fifth verse. The 12th Psalm and verse 5. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The 12th Psalm and verse 5. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The Lord has promised to leave in the earth while time remaineth a poor and afflicted people. And here the dear psalmist David speaks of these characters. But not only did he speak of them, he knew what it was to feel it himself. If you read in Psalm 40 and 70, the Lord speaks so clearly through the Holy Spirit of the feelings of the dear psalmist. He says, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. O David was to be anointed king and had everything naturally at his disposal, and yet he knew what it was to be poor before the Lord. And who had taught him that? Well, the Lord himself. And we sing in one of the hymns, don't we? Blessed are they that are brought to see their emptiness and poverty. And the more we feel our poverty and how poor we really are, the more we shall need the Lord. And it was a lesson that the dear disciples continually had to learn, what Jesus taught them, that without me ye can do nothing. They realised and were brought to feel it and to know it, how poor they were. And yet, in a precious Jesus was all the riches of God's grace that they would need for time and for eternity. So we have in this text, and I want to look at the first part first, these characters named for the oppression of the poor. And as we begin this evening, the Lord knows in your heart and he knows in mine how poor we feel and how poor our prayers seem and how poor we are in walking out the blessed truth that he has set forth in the Word of God and how poor we are in serving him and poor in prayer. But this poor sinner has to walk a trying path We are told here for the oppression of the poor. And you know, in many countries, even today, in these days of many, in many ways of wealth, there are those throughout the earth that are poor and they're very oppressed in a natural way. But this refers particularly to God's dear children that know inmost poverty. And they have to walk the path of oppression. I thought it's very confirming we should have just sung that beautiful hymn, because you may have observed in the last verse he speaks of the dear hymn writer Isaac Watts, the soul oppressed which sins deserves. The Lord will ne'er despise a humble groan, a broken heart is our best sacrifice. Now, what are they oppressed with then? Well, we've just sung in that hymn, firstly by sin. He doesn't oppress the world, he doesn't oppress the ungodly, does he? But the real child of God that's taught by the Holy Spirit their poverty will know what it is to continually be oppressed by sin. And that's why we read together in Isaiah 38 concerning dear Hezekiah. There was a wonderful character, wasn't he? He knew what it was to be oppressed. First of all, by his sin. The sin that was within him. And as we read, didn't we, in the lesson this evening, how he felt in his own heart the great oppression of his sin. And that's why he needed the Lord to deliver him from that oppression. He couldn't deliver himself. Really, we may say he was oppressed in many ways, just as the child of God is today. He was firstly oppressed by his sin. Secondly, he was oppressed because of the affliction that was upon him. It laid him ever so low, brought him right down. Thirdly, he was oppressed because the Lord had spoken to him, "Thou shalt die and not live." How would you feel and how would I tonight if the Lord said that to us? "Thou shalt die and not live." And what troubled him so, when that sentence was passed from the Lord, was all his sin was not forgiven. And he knew there was no entering into heaven without that blessed passport of forgiveness. So he was weighed down with not only the affliction which he knew would bring him to his end, unless the Lord intervened, but too, the Lord had told him, "Thou shalt die." But you know, the Lord in his rich mercy knew exactly how to bring the dear man down to that point. But then a further point of oppression that he endured was from the enemies, the Assyrians, who were out to not only destroy him, but the children of God and Jerusalem. The Assyrian army was full of power. So he was oppressed on every side. But you know, I love his prayer. It's one of the most real prayers there is in the Word of God. And what did he say? Oh Lord. It came right out of his heart, that prayer. He was in it. Oh Lord, I am oppressed. Is the one saying that tonight here this evening? I am oppressed. He was in it. There was no escaping it. He didn't say, well, last week I was oppressed, or in the days to come I may be oppressed. I am oppressed. You know, it makes all the difference when you're in the oppression. And what did this do? The Lord used the oppression to bring him to cry out, oh Lord, I am oppressed. But look at the reality. Undertake for me. And it was only the Lord that could. Undertake for me. It may be there are those of you, you young ones, those of you older, you may have things that are oppressing you. It may be in your work. It may be in circumstances. It may be in your heart. You're oppressed by sin, you're oppressed by unbelief, you're oppressed by Satan. And you cannot deliver yourself. You see, this psalm speaks of David proving in his own pathway and in his own heart that man couldn't deliver him. It was only the Lord that could do it. He says, for the oppression of the poor. Hezekiah, undertake for me. That's the reality. And many people could go around and say, well, I'm oppressed. But how many can really plead that? Undertake for me. In other words, Lord, bring me out of all this oppression. Deliver me from it all. Only thou canst. And let me say this for your encouragement, poor soul, if you're in this. This was the path that the dear Saviour himself trod. If ever a man that walked the earth knew oppression, the dear Lord Jesus did himself. You think of what was recorded in that 53rd chapter of Isaiah. It's a very sacred and blessed chapter, you know. When it was often read when I was a lad, you couldn't understand why the servants of God so read it, often at that time. But, you know, the older we've got, the more we valued that precious chapter. We read this concerning the dear Lord Jesus. He was oppressed. So, poor soul, if you were to be one of his dear children, one of his followers, you must expect a little of the same. But the oppression that you may have, I may have, is nothing compared to the oppression he endured. Oh, no. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. You know, so often when we come into oppression, our old nature begins to murmur, doesn't it? To complain. Why has this come? Why have I got to walk this path? And here's a lesson to us, and I preach it to myself. Yet he opened not his mouth. There was no murmur or complaining in the heart of the dear Redeemer. And what a lesson that is. I say it to myself, I leave the other with you. He opened not his mouth. In other words, and we see it so beautifully set forth in that verse I've just read, he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before a shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Submissive, you see. Resigned to the will of his beloved Father. Knowing that he must suffer, he must know oppression in a far greater way than ever we will. And for your comfort, poor soul, he knows exactly how to sympathise with you. We have a great high priest, you see, that's sympathetic to his dear people in the path of oppression. Oh, he has. So poor as they may be, and yet they're rich in him. For the oppression of the poor, but then for those of you, just briefly, that are oppressed by Satan. You know, the arch enemy of our souls is ever active. Oh, he is. And he oppresses the child of God on every side. And we cannot overcome him, can we? But you see, the Lord has overcome him. And he will put him down. Our text is full of sacred promise for this soul. And may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply it this evening for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. Now will I arise, saith the Lord. The time will come when he will arise. You see, really, when he says, now will I arise, it's just like that glorious resurrection morn when he was to come forth from the tomb. Now will I arise. And not all the powers of death or the grave could hold him. Now will I arise. The great stone rolled on the sepulchre door as to the doorway. He just rolled it away. Now will I arise. So there's this wonderful prospect before this soul that's oppressed, that's so poor. The Lord's going to arise for your deliverance, to bring you out like he did Hezekiah. What did we read in that beautiful chapter? How the Lord was to bring him out into that wealthy place. You know, there's two halves, really, to that 38th chapter. There's all the path of sorrow and of grief and of darkness and distress. And then the Lord hears and answers his poor prayers. Think of what the Lord said to the prophet to say to Hezekiah. And remember, Isaiah was the messenger. The message came from heaven. Go and say to Hezekiah, the Lord was arising for his deliverance. Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father. This word was clothed with divine authority from heaven. I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And you look how wonderfully the Lord was to confirm it, that the sundial of Ahaz was to go back 10 degrees, by which, you see, the Lord was to prove his faithfulness and to appear. And I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun, as soon as the Lord arose, returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. Oh, the power of the Lord, you see, in his deliverance. And you read the rest of the chapter, it's full of the blessed praise of God for what the Lord had done. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. You see, the Lord had put away all his sin, delivered him. He'd arose to deliver him. For the oppression of the poor, for the sign of the needy. To put it simply, this oppression. I remember going into the Dicker Chapel to hear the late pastor, my predecessor, Mr. Sperling Tyler, and at the time I was in the depths of trouble, in soul, in the pathway, in the Church of God, and I felt to be at the ends of the earth, and it almost drove me out of my mind. And my brother-in-law kindly took me, and I shall never forget it. Dear Mr. Tyler spoke about Hezekiah's experience, and he said, "You come like this, you're under oppression from every side." He said, let's put it simply, what did it mean? And he leaned over the Dicker pulpit and he said, "Friends, it means the pressure's on." That's what it means in the simplicity of it. And you look at it in the case of Hezekiah, the pressure was on from the Assyrians, the oppression of his sin, the oppression of Satan, the oppression of the affliction. The pressure was on. Hezekiah would have been crushed under it, left for a moment. But you see, the Lord was with him. And the Lord will be with his dear children in this path of oppression. And in his appointed time, not your time, not mine, he will arise. Oh yes, he has promised it here. Let us remember, this is not my word and it's not a text that I've just chosen. The Lord spoke it right into my heart to bring it. Now will I arise. Now, I don't know what circumstance you may be in, or what trial you may be in, or what oppression you may be in, or how needy you may be, or how poor you may be. But if this is of heaven, which I truly believe it is, the hour will come when he will arise. And what will he do? Command deliverance. And that's a wonderful thing. Deliver you. Like he did Hezekiah. You look at that, read that chapter closely again. You go through what I've mentioned this evening, he walked through. I've only hinted at it. But you look how the Lord arose and delivered him. But then he says this, for the oppression of the poor and for the sighing of the needy. other those needy ones here this evening. I am poor, Lord, but I'm needy. I'm in deep need of thy appearing. I'm in deep need of thee to work. I'm in deep need for thee to provide. I'm such a needy character. May the Lord give you a grain of faith to be able to say what we sing in that 667th hymn. It's a beautiful verse, that is. My every need he richly will supply, nor will his mercy ever let me die. My every need. What did the apostle say to the Philippian church? But my God, and he could say it with divine authority because he proved it. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And the more you feel your need of the Lord, poor soul, the more you'll prove the wonders he alone can do. But in these deep needs, what is the heart doing? It's sighing under the weight of it all. For the sighing of the needy. And those sighs are all known to the Lord. You often hear a person, if they're concerned and a matter troubles them, they sigh under it. He's promised to hear the sighing of the needy and the groaning of the prisoners. Some people we know, they sigh, it's just a matter of habit. But the reality with the child of God, it's the inmost heart of the child of God that sighs under the weight of it, the burden of it, the concern in it all. For the sighing of the needy. So the Lord knows you young ones may have some special need in your pathway, in your souls, in your circumstances, in your work, or maybe at college, or whatever it may be, the future, the need. It's a wonderful thing, you know. The Lord's able to supply the need of his dear people. You can look at it in the Word of God, look at it in Providence, how he supplied the need of the children of Israel, right through the wilderness journey, the manna, each day from heaven, 6 days. And then that double portion for the Sabbath day. Elijah, when the brook dried up, or prior to the brook drying up in that famine, ravens sent to feed him. We were looking while we were in Devon the other week at some ravens. They were flying overhead and in the trees. And I thought of dear Elijah, you know, with those ravens there. They were sitting, making the noise they do. And I thought of the dear man, you know. Sent down, you see, ravens that would devour rather than give, the hymn writer said. But they were to supply his need. Everything is in the Lord's hands, you see. We sing, but do we really know the reality of it? All events at his command. All events, not some of them. It wasn't by chance the famine came. With Elijah. It wasn't by chance the ravens were there to feed him. They were all in the hands of his God. And when the Lord arises, like he did for Elijah, to supply that need, the Lord knows the sighs and cries that went out of Elijah's heart. If ever there was a man real in the things of God, dear Elijah was. I love that dear man. But you see, we won't want to walk in some of the things they had to, those old divines. The flesh dislikes the way, but faith approves it well. So there's this wonderful prospect, if I may put it so, to these characters named in the text. But before I look at that, let us just tarry a moment on this sighing. You cannot even pray when you're in deep need. You may say, the professor of religion say, oh, well, you know, you should always pray over this and pray over that. We know in the reality that is true, but when you're in it, sometimes you can't utter a word. You sigh under the weight of it. The groaning within, the inmost sighs, going out to the Lord. Like the prayer that's of the Holy Spirit we looked at this morning that arises from the hearts of his dear people, where pierce the chapel roof, pierce your home roof, and enter into the ears of the Lord God of Sabaoth. And so are these sighs. They're all known to the Lord. A person that's in real deep need will sigh, and people may look at them and think, well, what are they sighing about? But you see, the Lord knows. He sees those inmost sighs. Sighs and groans for pardon, for peace, for the Lord's appearing, for him to make a way where there seems no way. They're all known to the Lord. For the oppression of the poor and for the sighing of the needy. But then this beautiful promise. Now, God's time, will I arise. Will I arise? And we need much grace, don't we, to wait the Lord's time. And let me tell you, poor soul, there's no time like the Lord's time in a matter. Oh, no. We are told in Psalm 102, and you look at the depths the psalmist came to in Psalm 102. And he says this, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favour her, yea, the set time has come. Thou shalt arise. I remember the late Mr. Sperling Tyler preaching from that at my uncle's baptism at Stapleus. There had been 18 years of famine, as it were, in the church. And then the Lord arose and brought him. And dear Mr. Sperling Tyler, he preached from that word. It's sweet to me to think back on it. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favour her, yea, the set time has come. The Lord turned all the darkness and captivity of that first part of the psalm the psalmist had walked through. The Lord was to arise and deliver them, and deliver the dear psalmist and the children of God in his day. And now will I rise. God's appointed time. When the Lord says now, he means it. Now will I rise. And may the Lord sweetly assure you that's what he's going to do. Now will I rise. Because if he says that to you, that's what he will do. Oh yes. God is not a man that will lie. He will fulfill what he has said. He said, my word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. But let me ask you this question. Do you need him to arise? Because these poor do. They're under oppression. These needy do that are sighing. They need him to arise. And if we're in the amongst these characters tonight, this is what we need the Lord to do. Now will I arise. And he endorses it with the most divine authority it could ever be endorsed with. Saith the Lord. That's what I love so about these sweet promises of the Lord. They have the endorsement of heaven upon them. And what he says he will fulfill. And what does he say? I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. Satan is often puffing at God's dear children. And the margin tells us, or ensnare him. And that's what Satan will try and do with these poor characters, these needy characters. He'll try and destroy them, you see. He'll puff with all his powers of hell to try and destroy them. And he'll ensnare them on every side. But he'll never destroy. Now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety. What a sweet prospect. And I will set him in safety. Now where's the safety? It was not in them being poor. It was not in them being needy. The safety is in the Lord. The safety is in a precious Jesus. We sing in one of our hymns, don't we? All my safety is in thee. And this is what the child of God wants to feel in their oppression and in their need. They have one that's able to set them in safety. Let me just briefly name a few occasions in the Word of God where the Lord wonderfully fulfilled this. They're notable occasions. You take the children of Israel at the Red Sea. Satan in Pharaoh was trying to destroy them. But what did the Lord do? He arose, divided the sea, set them in safety from him that puffeth at them, and delivered them from all the oppression of Pharaoh and his house. And they saw the enemy dead on the seashore. So comprehensive was the deliverance. Daniel in the lion's den. Look at the oppression the dear man had. He felt so poor and helpless, in such need. There's no doubt there were many sighs going out of the heart of dear Daniel as they cast him into that den. But what did the Lord do? Now will I rise, and I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. What did the Lord do? He shut the lion's mouths. They could not hurt him, could not touch him. There was his safety in the Lord, you see. The Lord had done it all. He'd arose. He had commanded deliverance. The same with the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. He entered into that fire with them. And no powers of that great fire could even touch them. They came out without the smell of smoke upon them. the Lord, you see, arose and set them in safety. And it may be you feel troubled on every side and oppressed by Satan, oppressed by your own deceitful heart, oppressed by man, oppressed by professors of religion. But I will set him in safety. Now this is what the Lord said he would do. From him that puffeth at him. There are two precious things here really. Firstly, the Lord has all power over Satan and all things. And that's a wonderful thing. And when faith is given, faith will view the great power of your God, able to deliver. Like the dear Saviour when he entered into the sea to deliver the disciples when they were in the ship. He was upon the land in prayer. And what does he do? He arose and goes to them walking on the sea, controlling it all, that which they so feared as they were tossed around. And he commands deliverance. He set them in safety, didn't he? The same when he was asleep in the ship, when they were full of water. He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the sea, and there was a great calm. The disciples were troubled. They were buffeted. But the Lord was in control of it all. Go back to what I quoted earlier, all events at his command. So those two things, firstly the power he manifested, and secondly the sweet experience of that power. But then finally, and I must be done, the day is fast coming where we shall have to launch in worlds unknown. The great day of death is before us. How shall we stand in that great day? The hymn writer said, how shall I stand in that great day? May we be like dear Noah, safe in the ark, in a precious Jesus. And what'll be the sweet issue of those souls when he arises to take you from this earth, poor soul? You say, come away. This is not your rest. This is not your home. And be with me forever. And that's a wonderful prospect before the child of God. All the oppression will be over. All the sighing will be finished. And it'll be eternal joy that is sweetly experienced by this soul. But what a solemn thing if we know nothing of what's couched in our text and perish in our sin. Well, may we lay these solemn things to heart. And may the Lord sweetly apply this text to us. And may you know the sweet arising of the Lord. And as he arose on that resurrection morn, may we know the great power of that resurrection in our souls.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £690, for which we are very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening, with address by Mr. Field. Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Timothy Barker next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 1028. Come hither, ye by sin distressed, and hear the Saviour's faithful word. Soon ye shall enter into rest, and know that he's your conquering Lord. 1028.
to come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little that abide in our hearts. Do take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. Forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. May the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the divine comforter, rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.